beams. He is our peace.
Cast all your cares.
Cast all your cares. On him, he'll be nothing for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on him. He is our peace.
Amen. That's the truth. He's our peace. He's our assurance. He's our strength. He's our everything. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we could be back together again, Lord. But most of all, Lord, that we could be gathered around your word. It means more to us than life, Lord. Only because you put it in us. Not something that we could manufacture or make ourselves, Lord. We're so thankful for it, though. We pray you'll help us and open up the word this morning to us. May us take a little step higher, Lord. May you open it to each one that might hear it down the road. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I was, hold on just 1 second. I got glasses and somehow they got fingerprints on them and I had to clean that off. I can't take that. I remember years ago, my dad, it was like back in 2017 or 18. I didn't wear glasses nearly as much back then as I do now. But he, every time he went to read something, he would put them on. And I remember going up there one day and looking at him. He put his glasses on and I couldn't see how he could see out of them. They were so bad. I said, Dad, what in the world? So the next time I come up there, I bought him some of those microfiber things and gave them to him, and I cleaned his glasses first and handed them to him, and he was like, wow. He was so excited about that, and he wanted some more of those so he could pass them out to everybody else, because it was so great for him, he wanted to give it to somebody else. And so, you know, the message, the words like that, if it has an effect on somebody, they want to go tell somebody else, and anybody that'll listen. And you know, I was somewhere the other day, Adam. I was sitting there a while ago trying to remember where I heard this, and I couldn't remember it. But I heard somebody use this phrase, killing your darlings. And I didn't know what that meant. I kind of had an idea what it might mean. So I went and looked it up on the internet, the phrase, killing your darlings. What does that mean? And it first popped up with some kind of movie. And so I'll go on down past the movie picture, and then they have this thing on down here. It says, what does it mean, the phrase, killing your darlings? So when I pulled that up, it refers to authors. When they're writing a book, they write some part of the book, some scene or something that happens in the book, and they love the scene. They love whatever happening with the character. And they're just in love with it. It's their darling. And they have wrote the other part of the book too. And it won't fit in the book. And they can't quite finish the book because they keep trying to make this darling fit in it. And it won't fit. And they can't finish the book till they kill it. And I think about this message so many times. We have what we have come to think of as the Word, but it's actually our idea about the Word. And a good way to tell when you got an idea about the Word is when you read something in the Word and you say, well, it might not mean that because over here this was happening and this was happening. No. And we don't get to do that. Whatever it says, that's what we take. And God shows how He puts them together. God don't have darlings that He's got to kill off. He don't have things that He brought a character somewhere and it don't fit the rest of the story. That's just us. That's denominations. They don't fit. God cuts them off. They don't fit with the rest of the tree. And I'm not talking about any particular person or people or anything else this morning. I'm talking about us just as individuals. You can have your little darling and you don't want to cut that little darling off because it means you just think so much of it. You got so much invested in it and you don't want to turn it loose, but it's wrong. You have to turn it loose. It don't fit with the rest of the story. And so that's the message. And if your only darling isn't God, then Satan will make other little darlings for you. You know, he'll make little, and by that I mean he'll make things in the message for you to explain it away and not see other things in the message. So don't ever do that. And somebody starts talking like that around you, just get away from that kind of talk. If it says it, then that's what it is. And now what it means, God will show us what it means by bringing it to pass. We don't have to figure it out. And so that's the Word. Now I'm going to point out something this morning in the Word. And this is as far as the Lord has showed me on this. And so I'm not going to take it any further than what He showed me on it. Okay? So I'm going to point it out to you. And people can do whatever they want to with it. But just be sure that I did not say it. The prophet said it. If Chris comes up here and says it and the prophet didn't say it, then and you take it, then you got a darling. You got something you better kill off. Because you said you took it because Chris said it, not because the prophet said it. Not because God broke it to your heart. If people take things just because Brother Branham said it and it don't become a revelation to them, that's, I'm going to read about that this morning. But if it ain't in this message, it's in the next one or two. Brother, he didn't beat no bones about it. He cut it right straight to the quick. And only the prophet could say it just like that, the way he said it. But I want us to think about this statement he makes right here in the beginning. And this is from the message, Seed is Not Air with the Shuck. Now, he preached a similarly titled message back in February at the beginning of the series that he preached marriage and divorce in. But he makes this statement. He says, and we'll get some of the things he said above this later. He says, anyhow, God always types the spiritual by the natural. So he used the word always. And in fact, what he says above it is he talks about God matching. If there wasn't a Bible, I'd still know what Christianity was, right? That Christianity was right. Because the whole earth turns upon death, burial, and resurrection. Nature works. Death, burial, resurrection. So that's what I want you to take with you, that the natural always types spiritual. And we touched on that word a lot this last time in Morphine, and I wanted to go back and see where he had mentioned that first and what he let him give us a definition for that word. Okay. God changed himself, changes his form. If you notice here in Philippians, he said, not thinking it robbery, but took the form of a man. Now, the word, the Greek word there for that form, I've been looking at it all day yesterday, trying to think out what it was. I find come with this word of enmorpha. It's spelled E-N-M-O-R-P-H-E. Look in the Greek to find out what amorpho was. I may pronounce that wrong, but reason I spell it is when the tape is released, the people, scholars, will know what I mean by it. He, God, when the amorpho, that means that he changed his self. So he formed himself to be something different. Not different than he was, but that he was in a different form than he was before. The amorpha, that means that he changed himself. Why does he change himself? Why does he bring himself out to reveal himself? When he amorpha, that means that he changed himself, he come down. Now the Greek word there means that something that could not be seen, yet it's there. And then it changes, and the eye can see it. You see that? And what did he say Jesus Christ was? That God was on display before the people. Before that, they couldn't see God. They could only catch little glimpses in the prophets or in the different ones. But then Jesus Christ came on the scene, and they saw him. They saw God. And so this is something that before you couldn't see him, and now you could see him. And he said that when he come to Melchizedek, that was God coming down to this. God changing his form on and on down to man. That's something that could not be seen, yet it's there. And then it's changed and the eye can catch it. So think about that. Look what he says right here about Elijah. Was at Dothan. See, the servant couldn't see all these angels around there. And God just changed. See, and all these angels and God was around there. And he just changed. Not brought the angels down. But he changed the seeing of the servant. So when he's changing his form, what is he doing? He's changing what the world sees. The world can't see him clearly. So he comes down and they saw Moses and they saw Moses do all these things and then they saw Moses disobey God. And then they saw Elijah do all these things and they seen Elijah disobey God. And they seen this one do all these things and they seen David disobey God. And they see all these things, but they were still seeing God coming down, changing his form. The servant couldn't see all those angels around there. And God just changed. Not brought the angels down, but he changed the seeing of the servant. And what did he say last time we was meet in the who is this Melchizedek? In that message we come with Wednesday, what did he say? He said that so is the angels of God, and God is here tonight, right here. He said right here with us right now. And he said the word is bringing that into view. So what do you think brought the prophet on the scene so that you could know these angels and God were here? That's what the prophet was. That's what the word was. It was God changing your seeing so that you could see what is already here by the word. He changed our seeing. And there was the mountains full of angels and fire and horses of fire and chariots of fire all around this prophet. See, he changed the scene. The thing is already there. God's already here. He just changed their scene. Oh, you talk about God. He said he reveals himself, interprets his word by bringing it to pass. That's how the little woman at the well saw God. He had brought God to pass. And saw Peter, saw the Son of God. He brought God to pass. And he doesn't break that. It's always the same. God always does it that way. So that what I'm trying to say, that God that always was is here. The only thing he done when he become man, he changed his mask. Do you see that? When he become man, he just changed his mask. It's still the same God that was there the whole time.
But now he's got a name, William Branham, or a name, Elijah, a name, David, or whoever, a name, Bride of Today. Just a mask of the same God. The only thing he done, you know, you think about that brother that was there with Elijah. You think about that. He was sitting there and he was getting surrounded by enemy. All he could see was the enemy. And all Elijah could see was that there was way more on his side than there was for the enemy. Because Elijah was the prophet, and the word came to the prophet. And so he asked, now listen, there's more in this than you would ever believe. I would know, I'm sure you would believe it. But what I'm saying is, I find it absolutely astounding how God takes a little itty bitty example that seems like there's nothing there. And the prophet comes and breaks that thing down and breaks it down and breaks it down, and it just keeps getting more beautiful. You talk about a flower blooming out. These word flowers are far more beautiful than those are. But you watch what he done with this man. This man couldn't see nothing. And he was getting scared because he couldn't see nothing. But he stayed right by the prophet. He didn't go running off. He stayed with the prophet. And the prophet said, open his eyes, Lord. What did this prophet say for the bride? He gave us the word, open their eyes, Lord. How many times did you hear him pray that in the messages? Brother, our eyes are open. They're not closed anymore. That God that always was is here. Now what do you think that man thought now? Do you think he was scared anymore? Can nobody else see them but him and Elijah? Everybody else saw the thousands of the enemy around. But now he and Elijah both could see it. You think about it. That's where we are in this day. The Eliezer come and got her. And the only thing he had was the word at the beginning. The only thing that man had was the word of the prophet. The prophet told him there's more for them, for us, than there are against them. That's all he had. That's all he needed right then. And then God told him, he asked God to show him the rest of it. And that's what happened. God opened his eyes. And now, what do you think that young man had? He had a testimony. Somebody come up behind him and say the same thing he was just saying a few minutes ago. Where are they? I see there's more against us than there. Oh, there's way more for us. And he could say it with authority then because he'd seen them. Before, he was just saying what the prophet said. But now he's seen them. He saw that the hills are full of the righteous, the God and his angels. It's full of them. And so... Isn't that wonderful? I think it's wonderful. The only thing he done when he become a man, he changed his mask. He changed himself from what he was to what he is, or his mask. Another act. So Brother Ram said, God said to Moses, you be God to the people. Is that what he said? Okay. Now, do you think Brother Branham pointed that out 20, 30 times in the message so that we would think that about Moses and believe that about Moses and that'd be it, walk off? Or did he point it out so that we'd realize what was happening right now in front of us? You may now this is in marriage and divorce. I want to go up here and I want to, what we're going to do, it was, we're going to go get out of marriage and divorce where Brother Branham said about why Eve was made like she was. And we're going to compare it to what we went into the other night when he said how man was made in Melchizedek. Okay? We're just going to compare the two. And then you draw your conclusion from it. You may now ask me, why did he permit her to be designed thus? So why did he permit Eve to be made outside of the original creation? I don't want to take too much time because I got a lot more to say here. Why? The question might arise then, why did God make this woman like this? Why did he permit her to be like that? It was for his own good pleasure. Sure, because he chose to do it that way. Now, if you want to turn in your Bible, just a minute, let's turn to Romans 9. Now, I'm not going to read Romans 9, but that dot, dot, dot was Romans 9. So you can go back and read it. I had way too many quotes already this morning. Just a minute and show you something, how God does these things. If you want to go read it, and we can see here that God does it for his own good pleasure. Now, coming down below it, after he read the scripture, he said, now argue with that a while. God did it. He had to make it this way. He had to make Eve that way. Now, what way did he make her? Keep listening. It had to be there. Now, listen now for about 5 minutes. I want to call your attention to something. What is God? God is great eternal. At the beginning, way back before there was a beginning, he wasn't even God. Did you know that? God's an object of worship, and there wasn't nothing to worship him. He lived alone. And in him was attributes. And what is an attribute? A thought. Now, you'll get something that will border on the lesson for tonight. So now, he in more than one place, he ties the message from that morning to the message that evening. They're very, very close together. Now watch what he says. And he's referring to who is this Melchizedek when he said that. Notice, he was his attributes that was in him. Now, it was in him to be Father. It was in him to be God. It was in him to be Son. It was in him to be Savior. It was in him to be a healer. I think I read this the other night. And all these things here are just displaying his attributes. There's nothing out of order. You think God didn't see the end from the beginning? Certainly, he did. There's nothing out of order. It's just displaying his attributes. Now, if you didn't know what the prophet means by saying there's nothing out of order, you'd think, well, this sin's okay. People can run with that and interpret it that way. And that's not what it means. You know what he means. You don't take him just like for his words. You know what you're reading between the lines because the Lord gave you the Holy Ghost to do that. Now, he could not be just make a man to fall. He had to put him on equal basis. Oh, you mean like Eve? Think about it. Just pointing it out. He put Eve on equal basis with Adam. Even though he made her outside the original creation, he put Eve on equal basis with Adam. And so here he puts Adam on equal basis with him. Even though Adam came around the theophany. Remember we went through that the other night? Okay. I'm just pointing it out. You make what you want out of it. He had to put him on equal basis of free moral agency to make his own choice. Now, God had done made a choice before the foundation of the world and slipped the wedding band of predestination on Adam's finger. And Adam, he'd done chose. But right here, he puts him on free moral agency to make his own choice. He done saw what was in Adam. He done said, this is my son. He done predestinated it to be that way. And he'd also predestinated him to fall. He had to put him on equal basis of free moral agency to make his own choice, but knowing he would fall. Knowing that he would fall. People just pass things off like they don't mean anything. God set him up on that covenant knowing he would fall. Knowing. There's more there than just, okay, we're going to bring the fall. There has to be a reason why that's going to bring a fall. Why is that going to bring a fall when this other can't bring a fall? It's the way he set up the garden to make his own choice, but knowing he would fall. Now, he can't be a savior unless something is lost. He can't be a healer unless something is sick. And you can't be a messiah unless you have Christ in you either. These things had to be that way. In other words, he said you were messiahs. So when he said he couldn't make his full expression there in the garden, if he left them like they were, remember he said that in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed? He said if he left them like they were, he couldn't make his full expression. And everybody thinks, oh, that's so he could come and die for everybody. Well, guess what? You're part of that. You are a messiah, Brother Branham said. So he couldn't manifest that in you either if he left it like he was. You see what I'm talking about? You're a messiah. You're part of those attributes. If you have any questions on that, you ask me. He can't be a healer unless something is sick. These things had to be that way. God made them thus so that his attributes could be displayed. He made them like that in that garden so his attributes could be displayed. If there wasn't that, he'd have never been a savior. But we know he was. Even before there was a time, he was a savior. He was a savior. So there has to be something lost. How's it going to be? If he takes and loses it just in order to save it, then it isn't justice to his judgment. So if God lost it in the garden, and that's why Brother Branham said when Adam took Eve, it was a type. He did not say that that was God doing that. That was a type. It was God showing a type. God set it all up, know that he would do it, but he's not responsible for Adam's actions. Adam did his own actions, and Eve as well. If he takes and loses it just in order to save it, then it isn't justice to his judgment. He couldn't send a man to hell and be just. He is kind and gentle and true and honest, and he is a great judge. See, he would be working against himself. So he had to put a man out there and make him on free moral agency, so he wouldn't be working against himself. So he would, knowing, would fall, and the man in his own image, how could he fall? The man was in his own image, right? So how could he fall? But now when he made man, who was in man? He was in man. When they were together, before the separated, she couldn't fall, neither could Adam. But when he separated them, and he put her there, she fell and Adam went with her. You see that? Now, there's a spiritual side to that too. Would fall in the man in his own image, how could he fall? God, he was in his image of God. He was Brother Bram said he was straight from the hand of God, right before him. How could he fall? Now you're seeing daylight? See, he had to make a byproduct, something out of the original creation. Now you see it? See, there you come. See, then that's what fell. He made it knowing it would fall. And he knew his son would go with it. And it's put in over in the hands of Satan for a vessel of dishonor. So when God made it, it wasn't perverted. When God made Eve, she wasn't perverted. But she was put there so that Satan would pervert her. That's what he's saying, just as plain as English as there is. She was put there so Satan would pervert her, and when she got perverted, Adam would take her back, and he would be perverted. And it's all put over in the hands of Satan for a vessel of dishonor. Where is honor bestowed today? You think on that. Notice closely. And I put a little note there. Notice God took a part of the original man to do that. Took a part of him. Then again, why she was designed this way and not other females? Why was she designed like this? Because all the other females, they could only have sex one time. That was whenever the babies. It was time for the babies. That was it. And now, this woman that he's made, it's any time. Choose. No other creature was made with a soul. No other creature was made with a soul but man. No other creature could change and do anything different than the way God made it but man. You see the natural type in the spiritual. It's just perfect. Why was the woman designed so and not other females? None of the other females was designed like that. They're not today. They can't. Not being made that way, she can't do it. Why did he not make this female then a woman just like other females? If he made her like the other females, then she couldn't be deceived. She couldn't do this thing. So just like other females, so she would be just be the same way. Could just raise her babies. Then she would have her husband and live, and then it would come time for her baby, and she'd have her baby. Why? Why didn't he make her like this? I can't see these words, and you understand what I'm talking about, don't you? If you can, say amen. Yes, see, there's young girls sitting here, and young boys, see, and don't you know the animal has to come to a certain time of the year, then her mate, then that's all. And a woman, it's any time. And why did he make her like this? Now watch this, his great program unfold. He made her like this, and watch his great program unfold. As we go on through here now, just as perfect can be. Look what he's calling perfect. God made her outside the original creation so Satan could take her, and he's calling that perfect, just as it could be. Because that's the unfolding. That was his plan. Not perfect because it's going to be that way one day, but perfect because that's exactly the way he made it right there. I didn't know this till the other day. Wow. Why didn't he make her like that in the beginning, like the rest of the females? Because it would be unbecoming to him. He's the fountain of all purity. That's the reason he had to let Satan get a hold of her. What he done in the perversion, such a creature would not be becoming to him originally designed for. So God couldn't put him down there, put her down, put Adam down there, and let Satan come and pervert Adam. So he had to pervert Eve, and then Eve take it to Adam. Such a creature would not be becoming to him originally designed for. Now, I want to go back up one second here. Why didn't he make her like that in the beginning, like the rest of the females? Because it would be unbecoming to him. He's the fountain of all purity. And what did he say about Adam the last time? Adam and all of us. Why did he say we came around the theophany? To be tempted. And that we came around it and we didn't know all things. Because if we knew all things, we couldn't be tempted. What did he say? Why is she not made like the other females? Why is she not made like the original? Why was we not made like Christ? Why didn't we come into our theophany first before we came down here? Well, he's asking the question. I'm asking you the question. I'm asking anybody who listens to this that question. Because the prophet brought this up. Chris Osborne didn't bring this up. The prophet brought it up. And if we don't care enough about what the prophet said, that we just want to shove it off to the side like it's nothing, then I got news for you. There's something wrong with your birth. That's just as plain as I know how to say it. That's why I said what I said about Brother Holmes. He loved this message. When I took him a quote, he misunderstood me sometimes about how I was taking him the quote. But there was a lot of times I took him a quote, and he respected that message. I don't see a lot of that no more. I see a lot of, yeah, well, that's still in question. When the prophet says it's not in question. That's what I see. And I don't see leadership when I see that. Because the word is what leads us. And when I was sitting up there this morning and I was praying. And I said, Lord, I've heard all kind of things said. I don't know if they're directed this direction or what. It doesn't matter. And so I sat up there and I said, Lord, I've had more than one come tell me that I won't come under a man and listen to the man. I hope none of you come under a man. I hope you come under God in a man. See, there's the problem. Too many people say, you better come under a man. And that's what they mean. Come under that man. When it should be, you better come under God in that man. You better come under God, period. Everybody's got their idea they're selling. And they always got their little darlings. And if you go digging down into the darling, you'll find out that there ain't no point in that narration. It don't fit with the rest of the story. And I'm not talking about anything in particular. I'm talking about me. I had those same darlings. I had those same narrations that I would go into and I would hit a brick wall. And I'd say, well, Lord, this don't make any sense. And when it didn't make sense, I took it to Brother Holmes. I don't care what nobody says about Chris's life. It hadn't been the greatest until God took over. But when I didn't know what it meant, I took it to the pastor and I asked him. I didn't sit around and just wait. If the pastor had the answer, I wanted to know it. If I missed it in one of the messages, I wanted to know it. So I went to him and asked him. I sent him quotes. I said, brother, this looks like it's saying this. What about this? And sometimes Satan would get in it and make him think I was saying this or that. But it wasn't the case. My point is, I want to know about this message. And the scripture says that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. They shall be filled. I remember putting that quote on the site years ago. This is the very first one I put up because it just grabbed me. It was a promise and it was my promise. Why didn't he make her like that in the beginning? Like the rest of the females? Because it would be unbecoming to him. He is the fountain of all purity. Satan took my thought there, and I need to finish it. I'm sorry. What I was saying is that I was up there praying, and God knows my heart before you this morning. I'm going to put it on tape so anybody can listen to it if they want to. I was sitting there, and I was praying. There was some things here in the message that I didn't quite understand, and this that I'm bringing this morning, I didn't quite understand it, and he just opened it up, like light coming through a cloud. And I was sitting there and I said, Lord, you've heard all these accusations. You've heard all these things that's been pointed in my direction. You've heard all these false things that's been said about me. And Lord, you know that I want to follow you with all my heart. And I said, if you want me to go down over there and sit back down under Brother Keenan, I will go this morning. I said, if you want me to go back over there and sit down under Brother Don, I will go this morning. I will shut my mouth and I will listen and let you bring it to me. I said, but if you want me to continue on with this message, then Lord, make it clear to me that you want me to go on. And he just opened this up just like that. And so I'm here till he's finished. Okay. And if you're getting fed from it, then praise the Lord. So, that's the reason he had to let Satan get a hold of her. What he done in the perversion. such a creature would be, would not be becoming to him originally designed for. All his works that he designed in the original is in continuity. He's talking about the garden there, what's taking place. All his original works was in continuity before he made this woman. The female dog, the male dog, see? Female cow, male cow, everything in continuity. All nature is in continuity. Seed die, go in the ground, just like death, burial, resurrection. The sap goes down out of the tree, drops its leaf, comes back the next year with the resurrection of a new leaf. See what I mean? Everything, even nature of God, is all in continuity in one. And there's one designed out of, and here is one designed out of the continuity. We didn't come down the regular line. Brother Branham called that the regular line. And here he is, the natural is typing that. Natural was so designed so it can't sin. The nature was so designed so it can't sin. But here's one that's made outside of it, of that regular continuity. Nature is so designed so it can't sin. Think, the original creation of God could not sin. Now, I've heard people take that and run with it and say, that is Adam. That means Adam can't sin. And he is talking about the original females could not go and have relations anytime they wanted to. Because we know good and well, he could not say that Adam could not sin when Adam sinned. He said it 20, 30 times after this that he sinned. But people get their idea. They have their darling, and they're going to hold on to their darling until God either kills it for them or they die with it, one or the other. I'm so grateful that God killed it before I died, and he let me have the truth. Oh, don't you see it now? In this view here, the perversion of the church, the original is God's word. There is no sin in God. See what I mean? Here is a creature that come into existence by a perversion. God didn't make her a perversion. See what I'm saying? That looks like he's saying God made a perversion, but that's not what he done. God made her and he put her there and Satan made her a perversion. He made a creature that could be perverted. And Adam went with her and he was perverted with her. Not deceived, but he still went with her. So he had to make Adam so Adam could go with her. Because he said, we can't. We can't be that. We can't fall. We can't be nothing but that. We can't say anything but thus saith the Lord or we're quiet. That was not the life that Adam showed us. You can do it. Y'all can do it. Anybody can do anything they want to with it. But I'm going to stand with what the prophet said. God is going to have a church. But look, and that does not change anything that Brother Branham said we was going back to. It doesn't change it. God is going to have a church. But look at this perverted thing they got out here. See, are they bringing the unseen into people's vision? These churches out here, these denominations? No. They're bringing Satan into vision. Have a church, but look at this perverted thing they got out here. God has male and female, but this woman, see, the very symptoms of it shows back what was in God's mind. You see, he's telling you what God put in place is showing what was in God's mind and what he was going to do. How is that not exactly what he said about God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass? We look at the garden and we see what happened in the garden. And by looking at the garden and knowing what happened in the garden, we know what God was doing. And that's why if you don't know what he's doing in the garden, you can't see nothing else. Because what he said in the garden is the seed chapter. And I'm going to read that to you here in just a minute, I think. We could take an hour or two and break that down. She made this creature for that way. And I'm sure he meant he made that creature. He made the creature. Yeah, he corrected it. He made the creature and turned her so Satan could get a hold of her, and he did. He has still got her. She had better flee to the cross, like man too. Amen. So let's go on down. And I wanted to show you just a little bit of how he's still tying those two messages together. This is in Marriage and Divorce. We had a tremendous time in the Lord. We've had. This started on Thursday night, and it went through Sunday. It was a four-day messages. And on Sunday, he preached Marriage and Divorce that morning, and this who is this Melchizedek that night. And started out on Thursday with "The Seed Is Not Heir with the Shuck," I think is what he titled it. But that's what he's talking about when he talks about these 4 days. And we're under, he said, we've had a tremendous time in the Lord, and we're under great anticipations for this service this morning. And now tonight, being the closing time of this 4 days of campaign, why, we certainly invite all that can be to be here. We're trusting that the Lord will give us a great climax tonight. Are you talking about, you think he's talking about just healings? Because he talks about healings. Will give us a great climax tonight by doing something extremely extraordinary, in so much that he would heal all the sick and do all the great things that he usually does. And we're under great anticipation for the evening. The public is cordially invited. Every church, every denomination, you don't even have to be a Christian. We certainly are calling for sinners to come in and sit among us. And we do our very best to teach them what is the way of the Lord, that we might live. Going down into, who is this Melchizedek? He says this at the beginning. Dear gracious God, with this little note here of a few things to say to the people, and back again to refer back to this morning. Remember what he said about him teaching something that morning that was bordering on the lesson for tonight. Now he's coming down here and saying he's going to refer back to this morning tonight. For that's what the people come to hear. I pray, God, that you'll let the people see that God loves and cares. And it was not me that give that. Lord, it was vindicated that it was the truth. So I pray, dear God, that your love will always remain among the people. Tonight, to have to separate after this meeting and go to our different homes, it kind of pulls us some deep, Lord. I pray that you'll bless these people. And as we approach the word in prayer and approach the written word, we ask that you will take this written word and make it alive to us tonight. And when we leave this building tonight to separate, to go to our different homes, may we say, like those who came from Emmaus, that they walked with him all day and still didn't know him. And you think about, they walked with him all day long. Their hearts burning as they listened to what he was saying. And you think about the man that was with Elijah. He listened exactly to what the prophet was telling him. Stayed right with him. But then he got them inside the room that night, and the doors all shut. He did something just like he did before his crucifixion. By that, they knowed he had risen. Oh my. Now, you can look at the prophet's ministry if you can't see that. Brother Ram said he come down to the platform and made himself known just as much as he ever was. Do it again tonight, Lord. Grant it while the doors are shut and your little group here is sitting awaiting. And Father, when we go to our homes, we'll say like they did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way? We commit ourselves and all in your hands, Lord.
do with us as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. I always thought that was such a good example. They had their hearts burning when they didn't know who he was. But then they realized, when they realized who he was, then they realized why their hearts were burning. Back to, is it to go back to the beginning? The question, the true answer that Jesus wants us to go back to the beginning. Then that would be in Genesis, because the word Genesis is the seed chapter to every question in the Bible. If Genesis is the seed question to every question in the Bible, and you don't know what happened in Genesis, it's not good. You know, and if you think about it, Brother Bram said, when you shoot your gun and it's off out here just a little, you're off way out there. So if this is the seed chapter and you're way off at the seed chapter, how far off are you going to be at the in Revelations? Because the world, the word Genesis is the seed chapter to every question in the Bible. And you always have to go back to the seed to see what kind of seed is in the field. If you want to know what's growing out here, if you want to know what you're seeing, what you're looking at, then you have to go back to Genesis to see something. Now, what kind of seed is sown? Genesis being the seed chapter, we'd go back to Genesis. Jesus introduces us to the scripture at the beginning. Now remember, that's when time started to begin. Before that, it was eternity. Now now our question there was, notice, if we go back to the beginning. Now, don't fail this, and that's the reason I want to talk slow so the people out on the wires and the tape will say it clearly. If Jesus said, go back to the beginning, there was only one pair of anything on earth. There was one Adam, one Eve. They were joined by God alone. One female horse, one male. One female parrot, one male at the beginning. As he told us to go back, there was only one pair of anything. Is that true? Then we find out that everything in the beginning was running in perfect order and harmony with God. Everything was in perfect harmony and order with God. He told them to keep this word and they were keeping it. He created the world like it was and it was still that way. Nothing was out of cater. Everything in heaven is still in order. All the stars, the galaxies, the solar system, everything is perfectly in order. One of them move, it would interrupt the whole program. Now listen, do you see? One interruption spoils the entire program. Now, when human beings was running in continuity with God, with one man and one woman, this woman sinned and it threw the whole earthly program out of continuity with God. Threw the whole earthly program out of continuity with God. Therefore, one word added to this book or one word taken from it throws a Christian out of continuity with God. See, God can't come into view if we're not believing his word. If it's not his word that's being made manifest. Throws a church out of continuity with God. Throws a family out of continuity with God. Every believer can be thrown out by not accepting every word of God. And that's what I meant a while ago. When we take a part of the message and we'll read that part of the message and we'll say, well, I don't know if that's what that means or not. They don't tell you what it does mean, but they sure don't think it means what you think it means and what it says. And for example, Brother Branham said that they did not eat of the tree of life. They had not partaken of the tree of life. But yet, I'm not going there. Throws a family out of continuity with God. Every believer can be thrown out by not accepting every word of God. And
Brother Branham said, in this day, we cannot turn down any one word of God, can we? Not one word. He said Satan believes the word and trembles, but he will not do it. He didn't do it. Adam had the word and walked out and didn't do it. He said you had the word and there's no way you could keep from doing it. Every believer can be thrown out by not accepting every word of God. That's why if we miss Genesis, we don't see what's going on right now. Just don't. Brother Bram said it breaks the continuity. When we leave off a piece of it, it breaks the continuity. If you take that scripture where it says that they could not come and directly eat of the tree of life, and you question that, that becomes your darling. And until you quit questioning it, you're stuck. Believe me, brother and sister, I've been in those quotes and I've been to those places, and I had to let them, the Lord had to show them to me and kill them. And so when I hear others do those things, that's what I do. I go pray, Lord, kill that for them so they can really surrender to your word, because that's what the only thing is we're going to see it. By not accepting, we don't accept it because we intellectually understood it. We accept it because he said it. And then he'll give us the revelation. What did that boy, what did the man in Elijah do? The young man in Elijah. He accepted it because the prophet told him. And then the prophet asked that his eyes be opened. Every believer can be thrown out by not accepting every word of God. Then it was the woman that caused the separation of the lovely home. It was not a cherubim that bothered the earth. It was not Adam that throwed the home out. It was not anything else that throwed the home out and throwed the whole thing out of continuity, but a woman. And it is here that the beginning that Jesus spoke of was broken. That's not where the beginning starts. That's where the beginning is broke. Make sure you see that. Don't just run over it. Because he ties time to the beginning. And it is here that the beginning that Jesus spoke of was broken. Jesus said, at the beginning, God made one male and one female of each kind. So when was the beginning? When he made one female and one, not when it when they fell. That wasn't the beginning. It's when he made those. And now when the woman, not the female horse, not the female dog, but the woman, she broke the entire continuity of God's operation on earth and throwed everything into death. The woman, not the man, she broke the covenant. Now we know that. Never been in dispute. She broke the covenant because why? She stepped across the borders of God's word. She did it because she was deceived. Is that right? Now, if she broke her covenant with her husband, she broke her covenant with God, then she broke her covenant with God, she broke it with her husband. And when you break your promise and your covenant to God's word, that's what caused so many illegitimate church members. You go out here and you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend on the side. Not the one you're married to, but you got somebody else. That's what he's talking about here. She didn't stay with her husband she was married to. She went out here and got her a boyfriend on the side. She couldn't turn him down. That's what makes all these illegitimate church members, he said. Because, and that's, if you look at it, brother, you'll see it. They don't want to come under man's scrutiny and man look at them and despise them. Just like you sisters, when you walk to town, I've saw more than one time, it doesn't happen too often, but I'd get behind Katrina. And when I get behind her, I'll see them. And some of them look at her and they admire her. A lot of them look at her like, what's wrong with her? And then they look around for me after that. They look around for the man after that. And I'm already judged before they even see me. So it's okay. I don't mind their scrutiny. because I would much rather have all of their scrutiny and not have God's. I would rather judge, as Brother Branham said, judge yourself so that you're not judged by God. That's what caused so many illegitimate church members. And that's what causes all these people in these message churches dressed indecent, with makeup on, cutting their hairs, watching movie mess all the time, every kind of junk there is on the internet and everything else, and they become illegitimate church members. Cause a group of men got together and said, well, it didn't mean that. And that's exactly what people do all over the place. They don't mean exactly that. And it throws it out right then. Well, it didn't mean that. And it throws the whole organization out of continuity with the word. We don't believe that. Dr. Jones says it wasn't so. But as long as God said it so, he said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. There it breaks the continuity. See, when you get away from that. Now we see, being that the continuity is broken, then the lifeline was broken. Also, the timeline was broken. The covenant was broken. Everything shattered. What caused it? A woman. That's what broke the covenant. And if you want to read that, you can read it in Genesis 3. Now, it was then man was made to rule over the woman by God's word. She was no more co-equal with him. Now, don't miss that. She was co-equal before, but now she's not. Look, do you see those two covenants? Did you see the covenant change too? When he told Adam, he said he put Adam and Eve on, made them co-equal with him. But when he changed the covenant, it was no longer Adam, Abraham, if you do such and such, I'll do that. There's no longer this co-equal thing anymore. See, the covenant changed because now we had a head. And that's the way it was going to be all the time. God was just revealing our head. Does that make sense? Because now we have a promise. I've already done it for you. I slipped the wedding ring of predestination on you before anything happened. And that's not what was taking place. The wedding ring of predestination. It was. Now, that one's where it gets hard to explain. See, God was doing that in the garden. He set all that up. But like we just said, he didn't bring the fall. But by him setting it all up to bring the fall, he was bringing that true Jesus Christ into manifestation. And we were part of that. Until he come forth, we couldn't come forth. Why do you think he went to the cross with us in him? There was no more co-equal with him. She was co-equal in nature, you know. But when she broke God's word, God made a man to be ruler over her. And what did he say? Because Adam and because none of the other men could keep his word, man would always break his promise. What did he do? He made another covenant, and he became head over man. I'll do it. You surrender to me, I'll do it. But so what happened here? He's made Eve. He said, Eve, you call him Lord. You follow him now. He's your head. He's no longer co-equal. It's done away with. God made a man to be a ruler over her in Genesis 3:16. If you want to put it down, she was no more equal with man. She was the breaker of God's word. Don't you see? She, the church down here, the breaker of God's word, that throwed her completely out of continuity. And that's what the church has done, and throwed spiritual death upon the whole thing. Now, you'll understand why I hammer at these things like I do. It was so important. He just kept hammering at them. It's the truth. This is Bible facts. Notice, why did she do such a thing as this? How could that lovely, beautiful, perfect woman, the prophet's words, not mine, The woman made outside of the original creation, he called her perfect. I see a picture one time, I believe it was in Greece, of an artist that painted a picture of Eve. She was the most horrible looking thing I ever seen. That shows what a carnal mind can look at. But she wasn't. She was beautiful because she was perfect woman, all woman. Notice, why did she do such a thing being in that high order? What was the high order? Being co-equal with man. Why did she do that? She was right with man, co-equal with him. But we all know now that she lost her co-equalness with man when she sinned. And God said, man will be your ruler from here out. Now that's the scripture. If you want to, we could read it. I'm giving you the scriptures to save time for this big hookup across the country that you might read it yourself. Notice the reason that she did that. How did Satan ever get to her? Did you know Satan was co-equal? How did Satan get to her? Brother Bram said. She's made outside the original creation, but God still made her co-equal. Adam went around the theophany, but he still made Adam co-equal. I'm just pointing it out. You do what you want to with it. But it's there for a reason. The prophet pointed it out to us for a reason. Did you know Satan was co-equal with God one day? Sure was. All but a creator. He was everything. Stood at the right hand of God in the heavens. The great cherub, leading cherubim. Notice the reason that she did this. She was not in the original creation. She's not in God's original creation. She is a byproduct. Now, she was in God's original creation in Adam. But he's talking about when she was manifested out. See, she wasn't. And he draws that difference later on. But I'm just going to point it out because I don't think I put the quote in here. She's not in God's original creation. She is a byproduct. Therefore, at the beginning, as Jesus referred to it, she was not original creative being of God. She is a byproduct of a man. Then Jesus referred to, when Jesus referred to the beginning. Remember, Adam was both masculine and feminine in the original creation. One, but then he was separated by rib. So he's making it very clear where she was not in the original creation. Notice, but a byproduct, and notice the only one of all God's creation, of the only one of all God's creation of every animal and anything else, she was the only one designed this way. Every other female was in the original creation. Every other female was in the original creation, but Eve was not in the original creation. Over and over and over he's saying this. Now, you can say this is just for marriage and divorce if you want to, but Brother Branham said his word continues to unfold. He continues to magnify. So God didn't do this for just one reason. God will magnify why he says these things and does these things. See, that had to be made that way. We'll get to it after a while. Notice in this creation that she was in, not in the original, but a byproduct. And I just put a note here. The prophet just showed us what happened in the natural, and we know what is always a spiritual. There is always a spiritual because the natural always types the spiritual. So now let's look at what the prophet said about this. And I think I put a quote in there twice. I put the unveiling of God in there twice. So let's skip down below this one. But that's just telling what immorpha is. It's when he changes his form. Still the same God. He's just making himself known different. And then these are the quotes. We don't have to go back through these, but I thought I'd hit a few of these because these are what we talked about Wednesday night. I didn't add anything in here. So let's go down here. The male carries the hemoglobin, the blood. And when that has gone in the egg, that has to take place, brother. That's a natural that he's pointing at. There has to be a spiritual when the hemoglobin goes into the egg. It has to be that spiritually. Then you become a part of your father. And your mother is a part of your father also. So you're all part of your father. Amen. Paragraph 60. He reveals himself in his great form of what he claimed as he immorphs, changes himself into this other form, into his servants, and proves himself. So he changes himself into all these different prophets and different things that he come forth in. So immorph does not mean just the theophany. It means God changing himself. Whatever he's changing himself into, he's changing himself into that. So we have never been changed into the Word yet. That's what he says later on in there. He said, not yet. We've not yet have the theophany, not yet have the bodies, he said. All right, let's see. Let's get paragraph 61. Now, he is in the form of spirit, and then he comes in the form immorpha. So he's God the Spirit. Now he comes and changes his form. That's what Brother Branham said. Still the same God, just changes his form. That's why there's no beginning to Melchizedek and no end, because it's just God changed his form. That's all. It's still the same God that was there all the time. But Brother Branham said in the millennium, you'll see it. It'll all be before us. It won't be just Melchizedek showing himself to Abraham at the tent. It won't be just the prophets showing themselves to each one. It won't be just these things. It'll be God all in all showing himself there. Wow, won't that be something, brother? He appeared to Abraham in Morphe. He changed himself. Then Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings. That's when he appeared to him. All right, in this paragraph 64, it's this stage of his creation. God in this stage of dot, dot, dot. It's this stage of his creation. Now, he's talking about Melchizedek as a stage of creation. Later formed into flesh. So as he's in morphing and changing forms over and over, he's creating. He's bringing himself into being. Now we're going to get on Abraham and the three sons of Abraham and what Brother Branham said about those sons. I got in there and it would just shocked me, the stuff that I started seeing in that. It's the stage of his creation. It's this stage of his creation later formed into flesh. There goes forming, immorph, change his form into flesh. From what? From the great beginning spirit, then come down to be word, bringing himself out. Now he's calling that creation. He just said that it was creation. Every time when he's changing in form like that, that's his stage of creation is what he called it right there. That wasn't my labeling, okay? I just wanted to make sure y'all realize that. Because he doesn't say it a bunch of times, but he does say that that is a stage of God. God is bringing himself out. And Brother Branham said, people think God can create God. No, that's not what he's talking about. God is creating himself an expression. He's creating himself into being to so that you can see him and handle him. Great is the mystery of godliness. It's this stage of his creation, later formed into flesh, Jesus. From what? From the great beginning. Okay, I read that. From the great beginning spirit, then come down to be the word, bringing itself out. It says bringing itself out. Who's he talking about? God is bringing himself out. So when he come out as the Logos, he wasn't done. When he said, let there be, then there has to be. He said, let there be, and he started, and that's when he started to let it be. The word doesn't yet make itself out. It's just spoke out. You hear that? Now, what about that little man next to Elijah? The prophet told him there's more for us than there is against us. And he couldn't see it. The word had just been spoke out to that young man that those were there. But he couldn't see it. But then God opened his eyes to see it. And that's what God's doing when he comes forth to the prophets and he brings his word and then he brings it to pass and we recognize it. It's like us seeing what the prophet said was there. Then we see it's there. Look at that message sometimes, things that are to be. That word he preached on Job, that's a really good message. From the break beginning, spirit, then come down to be word, bringing itself out. The word doesn't yet make itself. It's just spoke out. The word doesn't yet make itself. It's just spoke out. In morpha. Later, it hasn't yet made itself. The word hasn't yet made itself. Here we are at Melchizedek and Abraham in the Bible, and the word has not yet made itself. That's his words, not mine. In morpha, later he becomes flesh, Jesus mortal, to taste death for all sinners. And then we read that quote, it said, that was God, the word had made itself. But it wasn't done then even. Then Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes will do in the final end. Every son of Abraham is going to come that way. Every son of the faith will absolutely do the same thing. But I want to watch how we have to come. We come in Christ. And then he goes right straight to that. Also, we see him revealed in Ruth and Boaz as a kinsman redeemer, how he had to come to be flesh. Now, we see the attribute sons of his spirit have not yet entered into the word form body. Word has not made itself out all the way. But a theophany, this body is subject to the word and earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. So that spirit that God gave us of Christ, when it comes into your life, you become a witness of that other dimension. You become a witness of that word that's over, that you're a witness to it. You're a part of it now. You've been born again by it. And that's why it makes our bodies do what it's supposed to do. It makes us walk like we're supposed to walk. Like Brother Branham said, you see somebody out here wearing a pair of shorts, he said, that is a filthy spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not a filthy spirit. It won't produce those things. Our lives won't produce those things. This body is subject to the word in earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. Now, every time I start talking about God doing in you what he done in Christ. He done in Christ. Did Christ perfect his flesh? Did he make it walk like it was supposed to? Or did he perfect it and change it into something else while he was here? He made it walk like it was supposed to, but it was still sick and it was still dying all the way up to the time he walked up to the cross. He didn't perfect the flesh, but he made it walk like it was supposed to walk, exactly like it was supposed to walk. God in him produced that. And every time I start talking about God producing the same thing in his bride today, I get every kind of excuse under the sun. And they don't realize if they would just stop for just a minute and listen to themselves, they are limiting God. It ain't about you. It's about God and what he's going to do. It's not about you and what you can produce. How many times did the prophet tell us that? How many times did he stress that Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the works, but the Father that dwells in me, he's doing the works. And yet we say in this day that we have the same Father dwelling in us like he had it. And then they go off on this thing about he had the fullness so he could do it. And I just... Brother Branham said that this bride will fulfill what was left, the scripture that was left for him. She will fulfill it in this day. Now, how is she going to do that if God don't have absolute preeminence in her to do whatever he wants to do? How can she have thus saith the Lord, or she'll be quiet? That's not talking about opening your mouth or closing your mouth. That's talking about your whole life. You'll have thus saith the Lord, or you will be quiet. Now, is Chris going to do that? Are you going to do that? I'm not going to do it. But he says he's going to do it. Because he is going to have a witness. He's going to have a judge, something to be judged by. A church without spot and without wrinkle. Not just because she says she has no spots and no wrinkles, but because she is spotless and wrinkleless. It's his righteousness. Amen. Now, the difference between you and him as a son, see, he was at the beginning the Word, an immortal body. Adam wasn't. He came in and lived in that in the person of Melchizedek. Then later, we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Now, who was that doing that? That was God doing all of that. Melchizedek was the priest. Now, was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. You bypass that. Because in that form, he knowed all things, and you have never been able to know that. You came like Adam. So if I've never known how to know it, then neither did Adam. Because he said we came the same way. I come a sinful man, but Adam didn't. He come from the hands of God, but he still says he went around it. He did not know. Like you become from the attribute to the flesh to be tempted. But when this life is finished here, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Amen. Then we can look back and see what we've done. Now we don't understand it. We have never become the Word. We've just become the flesh man, not the Word. But, and look clearly, makes it clear you will never be the Word unless you was a thought. At the beginning, you never can be manifested Word unless you was a thought to begin with. That proves the predestination of God. Amen. You can't be the Word unless you're a thought. You had to be in the thinking first. But in order to stand temptation, you had to bypass the theophany. You had to bypass the theophany. You had to come down in flesh and be tempted by sin. Amen. That's the truth. See, you had to first. You had to be first. All right. Well, let's get paragraph 70. And then, see, you come down the regular line from attribute. From attribute. Before the foundation of the world, his name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Then from that name being put on the Lamb's Book of Life, he become the Word, the theophany, that could appear and disappear. And then he become flesh and return back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. But you bypass the theophany and become flesh man. So you didn't become the expression of the Word. You become a flesh man to be tempted by sin. Amen. I hope I didn't. There's so much in there that I was never able to draw that natural and spiritual type there together properly until the things I saw this morning. And we'll go more into that on the Abraham, as the Lord wills, maybe on Wednesday, but not on Abraham. Well, yeah, the seed of Abraham, the three sons, Brother Ram called the three sons of Abraham. Do you know Brother Ram said that the natural seed of Abraham was all the prophets that came after him? I would have thought that he would have said that was the spiritual seed, was all the prophets that came after him. But he said Abraham, natural seed, not Ishmael, Isaac, his natural seed was all the prophets that came after him. But he said the spiritual seed was Christ. Amen. So there's a lot laying there. And we'll just go as we see, you know, as the light shines on the path. And if he quits shining, then we'll just pray that he'll show us another path to pick up. We'll see how where he goes. I used to be scared to death of that. Scared to death, not knowing what I was going to preach. When back in, when we were at the Reveal Word, and we were supposed to preach like once a month on a Sunday night, I would probably 2 weeks away start getting in my study more and more and more, and just worried what if I was going to have something that would help somebody and would not just be reciting something and have something for people, you know, a meal for people. And the Lord, in all my stumbling around, he still helped me to bring stuff. And so I believe now that I don't have that fear, that I'm just trusting him, that I believe he'll continue to feed. And so we'll thank him as he does, and we appreciate him. I ask you to stand with us. And what was that song we were singing from the Young People's Choir last week? Let's sing that one again. What was the name of it, Katrina? Brother Michael said he had not heard that one before. Yeah, Be It Unto Me. Oh, well, it's all right. We don't have to sing it.
She's got it.
Okay. Sorry, I should know the words if I want to sing one, but I don't. I can't keep up with that. Sing this, but let's pray first. Father, we're so thankful that you helped us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that any of the words I said that come across hard and sharp, Lord, that you'll let them be what they're supposed to be, Lord. That I said them in love and not in anger and not in hatred or malice or bitterness. Lord, I want us all to follow after you, Lord, with everything that's within us, not leaving off some things, not measuring people by carnal ideas, Lord, but measuring what somebody says by the word and that alone, Lord. We have thus saith the Lord, or we're quiet. Lord, may that live out in us. I want it for each brother and sister, and I believe there's many who want it, Lord. And we pray that you'll help us as we go from here and keep us this week until we come back again. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we'll sing this and then we'll be dismissed. There was a little woman who had not known a man. An angel came revealing her place in God's great plan. He would not reject her, the chief would rise, but humbly she submitted and from her heart replied, "Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Gladly I am hearing, a life within me stirs. Be it unto me
according to thy word, Lord. Behold, the hands made of the Lord. And when our Savior walked here, most people failed to see that in behind the flesh veil, there dwelt all deity. In him we went to judgment, he bore our agony. He hid us in his bosom and walked to Calvary. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord, praying in the garden. Lord, not thy will, my will thine. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Behold the perfect sacrifice. Now in this final hour, God's bride, a virgin, stands. The godly soul within her, it knows no creeds of man. From mortal to immortal, impossible it seems. But God's word has been spoken, and so she can proclaim. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Gladly I am hearing your life within me stirs. Be it unto me according to thy word, Lord. Behold the hands made of the Lord.